Well, again, I welcome the new people also. And most of you probably know that this is a tradition I've been doing the first week of December at Sims for a number of years now. And so glad to be doing it again and this new format. And we're all learning together in this new format. And afterwards, you'll be sent some sort of a survey from us to ask about how certain things worked and didn't work. I've taught this subject a number of times, but never before online. And that includes the walking exercises that can be, that I, at times I'll be doing specific walking exercises that are not what are usually used in just regular Vipassana retreats, because we're doing inquiry. It's the same as in the monastic world when Venerable Sumedho would have them explore certain questions like who's thinking this thought, that kind of thing, rather than a regular Vipassana meditations session that we're accustomed to. So in that regard, we covered a number of points yesterday. I'm going to look back in my notes now that I know new people here. We talked about the thrust of the retreat is to have direct experience. So we're using the intellectual proposition, using thinking in order to be able to gather our attention. But then the real practice is in having the direct experience of this profound existence of movement and stillness in our lives. I mean, it's profound. It's like it's so in front of us we don't realize it, but it is really profound and is shaping everything. And if we drop into the experience, we go through the experience to a deeper realization and a more skillful way of meeting the moment in our lives. And it's an awareness that builds the likelihood of insight arising even in daily life, where we see, oh, this is what the Buddha meant by X or Y or Z. And then unlike the other times I've done this, I'm also including working with the elements, which yesterday we did the earth element and we did the wind element. And today we're going to be adding the fire element and the water element. And then tomorrow will be an integration of everything. And we looked at a lot of things about attention and all that. I'm not going to try to take you through at this point. We will just start where we are and everyone will catch up. And I do a repetition kind of teaching. So you will get a chance if you'll hear what people, not in all the detail of it, but you'll hear the essence of what was done the day before. So closing your eyes and getting, oh no, sorry. First, let's look at, if we can, Tori, the first slide on the elements. There you go. So on the homepage, go back to two. Thank you. On the homepage, all of these slides are there for you to look at. And you can look up in the Majjhima, there's the Visuddhimagga version, there's Pa'ak's version of these elements, and they're all slightly different. But I want to make clear a couple of things. So the elements are there in their form. So you will hear me use the word hard, firm, heavy, but that means degree of hardness. So it could be soft, that's the degree of hardness. But It's more in their vibrant form that we. That's why I say hard, firm, heavy, because it's easier to experience, and it serves our meditation purposes more. And so I'm doing this for meditation and in the context of stillness and movement in particular. And likewise with rough and smooth, which I don't use because for what we're doing right now, it's not useful. There's other case situations where I would use it. So you'll hear this earth element of hard, firm, and heavy. And you may only relate to one of those three, and that's okay. And it may be for you, you get to the hard by feeling, well, it's not soft, so therefore it's hard. We each have our own experience with the elements. I had a very hard time learning these elements because every person I would go to would send me to someone else and say, I don't really understand the elements. So I spent some years in pursuit of all of this. The wind element, which we mostly get to through breath, it can. I use this word pulsating because it is. It has a. It for me the it's it feels more it feels more accurate than some of the other words that some of the other systems use. So we think of the wind as movement, and it's certainly movement. I don't know why I don't have it on here. I just realized I don't. But pulsating, vibrating, there's pressure, tingling, flowing. You would think that movement would start with water, but actually in the Buddhist understanding, the wind is the starting of the movement. And then with fire, which we are going to go to today, it's warm. Now, warm can mean burning hot, any degree of hot. But warm, cool is more, we want to be in our regular life. We want to be able to feel this in our regular life, not looking for extremes. And steady or flickering, that becomes important later on, and you'll see why. And steady is like a candle burning. You know, when a candle, it's and there's no wind, it's just, and that's what you create the conditions for. I don't know if anybody does candle gazing anymore for meditation, but in my early years, my late teens and 20s, that was used, the candle gazing. And then it's very different when it's flickering, like the wood burning. You can also use that, but it's a very different kind of thing. So there's that you'll see that attention can be steady or attention can be flickering. So you're sort of there, you're flickering in and off of the object and not really steady in the Upandita way of rubbing against the object that you're meditating on. So that's the importance of the steady and the flickering. I'm going to do all this again in the actual experience. And then water is flowing. It's got cohesion and connecting. And it's creating form. So the classic teaching is it can be the form of ice or flowing water or mist. And that it's all water. And that that our experience, as you will see in the meditation tomorrow, or maybe later today, that relates to our actual experience of energy and so forth. So those are the four. And just for a second, just flip on to the next one, Tweri. That's the Visuddhimagga. So you can see hard or rough, flowing, a cohesion, fire, maturing or heat, pushing, supporting. Okay, and then one more. Yes. Okay, thank you very much. And if we could take the slides off. Okay.
I will note, Philip, that these mm-hmm. slides are on the homepage. There's a beautiful little flowing movement through on the homepage if you want to reference them.
Yeah. Thank you. Oftentimes, we forget to arrive and we attempt to start our meditation kind of in the middle. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. We don't get started, or our mind doesn't get very steady because we haven't created the building blocks to have a steady mind. So we begin the morning's meditation by arriving. Arriving where? Here. Arriving when? Now. Literally. Collecting, gathering ourselves into this moment, which is characterized by a here. The room you're in. The activity you're participating in. By and now, this very moment. This very moment. The invitation is to surrender to this moment, to be available to this moment. A felt sense of being available. It's very distinct. Available here, now. Bringing mindfulness front and center enables being present in this moment rather than lost in past and future. Feeling the room you're in. A sense of presence that is arising as we're exploring in this manner. Connectedness. Being available suggests is supported by a connectedness that one moment is connected to the next. A foreshadowing of the water element. This feeling of immediacy is because each moment is fresh. Thank goodness. This is so. Pausing for a moment to acknowledge why we're here. It's aspirational, what in the Eightfold Path is referred to as wise view. to penetrate the first noble truth of suffering, and the second, such that we can practice the fourth noble truth of the Eightfold Path more wisely, to gain freedom, to gain well-being, to not be defined by clinging and grasping and insecurity and our fears. This is the aspirational aspect of wise view. And we recall, we get in touch with, we remember, put back together, re-member. We remember our intention as to how we wish to live as a human being. We use different skillful means for different goals, but our values don't move around with goals. It's a values-based way of meeting life. This is wise intention, second of the Eightfold Path. This wise intention gives us a ground. It provides dignity. We are grounded in our intention rather than the outcome. We have the aspiration. We have the values that allow us to meet the moment in a wholesome way. And that grounds us. Rather than judging and all, we rest. We rest in our wholesome intention. Not an idea, but a literal. My dignity, my internal structure arises because I am clear in terms of aspiration and intention. I know this is true, and I know that I know it's how it's true. So sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes I screw up. Sometimes I'm mistreated. But always, I know what I'm about. When you live in this manner, life is seen from a different perspective, felt from a different perspective, responded to from a different perspective. Again, literally, not as an ideal. Arriving in the body as it reveals itself as an experience, the physicality of the body, the materialness of the body, the isness of the body, not our views and opinions about the body. Those are just thoughts. In the nine bodies teachings, this is the first level of consciousness. This capacity of consciousness that actually can feel the body's experience. So easy to get lost in views about it or fixing the body. Being disappointed in the body or afraid. The marvel is that there is a body. We know from science how incredible the body is, including the brain. I sometimes refer to it as the bio spacesuit. It's an organic spacesuit that allows us on this planet, in this realm of existence. If you were pure energy dropped into this spacesuit, how marvelous it would be that you have form, that awareness has form. Thus, there is the existence of embodied awareness. That is your experience. You are having a unique experience of embodied awareness. Breathtaking. Awe. Total awe. Mindfulness of the body such that it is known there is a body. Let these words really include and fully opening. Not the body as a throwaway, so you may notice the body as a whole, or you may have various sensations that are occurring. You can recognize that you are attuned, that you have, in fact, taken the body as your meditation object. You've arrived in the body. You are available for insight to arise through this level of consciousness. The Buddha gave more meditation instructions for working with the body than any of the other foundations or establishments of mindfulness, the other satipatthanas. You're not doing anything with this yet. You're being, you're knowing. The physicality of consciousness, one capacity of consciousness. Wow. If you will, please drop your attention to the lower half of the body, feeling the pelvic bowl, the rim of the pelvis, the sit bones, having a felt sense through skin and tissue to the bones. What we feel is a degree of hardness, firmness, and heaviness. This is the earth element being known, being felt. This felt sense is now specific . And then expand the attention to your upper leg bones, the femur bones, flowing out of the hip socket down to the constituting the first top half of the knee area. Again, feeling through skin and through tissue to the bones themselves. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element, earth element. The lower leg bones. Earth element. Earth element, feel through, soften attention to feel through. Don't harden attention. Soft attention allows us to feel through. Relaxed attention softens into experience. The ankles and all the bones in the feet, so many bones. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. The feeling of earth element is a underneath feeling. So it's like the weight is underneath, dropping towards earth. The toes, hard, firm, heavy, earth element, earth element. Weight underside. Sitting in the bones, they say in Zen. If you will, now invite the earth element in the body to drop and rest on Mother Earth, a releasing, a settling, a ceasing to resist. It's not a pushing into earth, but this releasing, allowing the natural relationship of Mother Earth to the earth element that we call gravity to occur. It's a proprioceptive shift, proprioceptive shift. And now just the upper body, the shoulders, the upper arms, the elbows and lower arms, wrists and hands, through skin, through tissue, to the bones. Hard, firm, heavy, earth element dropping. Weight underside. This is the felt sense of the earth element. When we are experiencing it more fully, things can shift in so many ways. The face may relax. The body may be more responsive for the breath. You can feel the nervous system tuning down. Or maybe no affect at all. But it may be possible to know the stillness. So still this earth element. Not perfectly still. But relatively still. Still so that we can know it. The taste of stillness, the vibe of stillness, a base, a foundation. The element has stillness. And so does the knowing. Earth element is like this. Has a felt sense, not a description. This very one-pointed felt sense. As the mind becomes collected and unified around this one point, it is, as the poem that Tori read yesterday, you and the mountain of earth. And finally, there is only the earth element. But as we take the earth element as our object, while being aware of other experience, if we open away from that one-pointedness, expand, one of the things that is easily noticeable is that not just the earth element is present in the body, but so is the wind element. And the very stillness of the earth element contrasts, highlights, empowers, enables the knowing of the wind element as felt experience, because it is so profoundly different. It pulsates, it moves as a vibratory feeling, a tingling, or pressure, or a flow. With each inhale, these experiences. With each exhale, movement, pulsation, vibration, tingling. Pushed out, pulled in. You may be aware of the wind element primarily in your belly area. With the rising and falling, or in the chest area. Or at the tip of the nostrils. Or feeling the whole motion like a wave of in and out as the breath experience passes through the whole body. It's the felt sense we're noticing. Again, there's a one-pointedness, a single focus of our attention. Other things will be in the background, but the foreground is to know the wind element. We call it breath. So vital to life itself. Easy for us to know, because if you don't breathe, you die. So this sacred breath, precious breath, its role, its purpose, its gift, brings fullness to the one-pointedness. Not as thoughts, but just recognition. This is movement. Without movement, no life. Movement is like this. Being inside the movement. You and the movement are one. Eventually, only the breath would remain. The mind becomes content, and one can feel that contentment and explore it. So what is it, that movement which is ever changing, also has the presence, the felt sense of stillness? If you feel into ever more subtlety of it, the stillness underlies, contains, supports the movement. As a presence, it can at first be elusive, but it can become so familiar to you that in your walking around mindfulness in daily life, you are in touch with the stillness as well as the movement. You are literally directly in touch with the dance of life before the soap opera views and opinions, wants and getting, not getting. That here is a core level of experience. No need to add anything or subtract anything. If you start to look at the consciousness, what's called vijnana, in the five aggregate teaching of consciousness being part of any moment's experience, you can also discover that there's something utilized in this ordinary consciousness that's very, very still. Movement and stillness, one. It would be perfectly reasonable to spend the rest of the retreat just here, establishing your mindfulness in just this manner. If the mind starts to wander, come back to the earth element and its stillness. And then include the wind element in its movement. For those of you who are very settled, stillness and still flowing, stillness with movement, movement with stillness is your object, as Ajahn Chah told us yesterday. You recognize both. You have a felt sense. Of each. And stay steady. In reaching that point where stillness and movement are there together. If you wanted to go into concentration practice, deeper and deeper into concentration practice, you would keep that one-pointedness and that stillness and keep going into that with maybe noticing the cooperation of how the brain's now content, the mind's content, and you can do that. If you wanted to practice Vipassana, you would then take that and that stillness, the mind being that cooperative, and then you would apply the insight. So one would be a single one-pointed, one-pointedness, and the other is that one-pointedness that includes everything, but that same one-pointedness, which is made up of stillness and movement, is there. It's very, very interesting to see it as a structure. At least it is for me that way. That may be a little too heady, but in time you will feel it. What we will be doing in the next sit is we won't go in as deep. We will move on from the wind element to the fire element. But we're now, as everybody's back on the same page, the new folks too.